Today, as we continue to work through Philippians, the letter that Paul sent to the church at Philippi, we find ourselves entering chapter 3 as it is arranged in Scripture. And the opening words of chapter 3 of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi begins with these. He writes, "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again and again. And it is a safeguard for you." If Paul sees it fitting to repeat himself to the Philippians, let us also review what Paul has said in Philippians so far. Throughout the previous weeks, there have been really taglines from this letter that we can take away from us and that explain to us what else has been said. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "God, who has begun his good work in you, will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus." He was persuading and encouraging the church at Philippi to not be discouraged, even when things don't go right, to carry on working hard, working towards their aim. And on the day of Jesus, all things will be completed. We are to picture this like a puzzle. We're putting pieces into place. We don't always see the full picture, but Paul says, continue in your hard work. Paul also writes that your love will keep growing more and more, and that you will be able to choose what is best. Paul is encouraging us to draw closer to Christ in all things, so that we do not do things that we want, but that our will becomes the same as Christ Jesus. He also says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we said, this is an incredibly challenging statement. But it signifies that all things pale into insignificance when we have our eyes on eternity. Paul also encourages the church at Philippi to be united and to be courageous for the gospel's sake. And it says, Jesus said in Scripture that he would be persecuted, so we must expect persecution too. But, as Paul says, we must have courage. Paul also writes, your way of life should be as the gospel requires. Why? He goes on to tell us. So that we should shine like stars in the sky. Paul wants us not just to speak the gospel, but to be the gospel too. He wants us to speak with actions and not just words, as a shining example for Christ. Paul also wrote to the church at Philippi that your life in Christ makes you strong and his love comforts you. This is why we can be strong, because we know that Christ is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? That is a great comfort in a time of trouble. He also wrote that you have fellowship with the Spirit, have kindness and compassion for one another. God's Spirit is always with the church. God's peace, joy, and compassion fills us always. So we must be compassionate towards others in the church, in the wider community, in the world. And the attitude you should have, says Paul, is the one that Jesus Christ had, one of humility and love. This is what we should aspire to. He also says that Jesus' nature is the same as God. He spells this out in a creedal-like statement. And we are warned by these words to make sure our God is God and not a construct of your imagination. Our God must be the God that Jesus represented in human form as he came to earth, not something we make up in our mind or to fit. Jesus is entirely God. Everything he says and does is consistent with everything that God has said and done throughout Scripture, throughout time. Paul says that he came to earth and walked the path of obedience. We are to be Christ-like in this way too. And he gives examples, and this is what we looked at last week. Examples of sacrificial living. First, Paul himself, through offering to the church at Philippi his most beloved companion, a man he describes as a son, Timothy. And we are also reminded by Paul of these great examples of shining stars, Timothy and Epaphroditus, as they work tirelessly for the gospel. Why is it important that these messages are repeated by Paul and repeated by us today? Well, they are the central message of the Christian gospel. These points are what are integral in following the way of Jesus. If we follow these things, our salvation will be safely secured for us. And more importantly, God will be honoured. If you attend church where a minister does not repeat this message in one way or another, you might want to find another church or challenge the minister to preach the gospel. In churches today, we must preach what Paul taught, and more importantly, preach what Jesus taught, which is what Paul is teaching the church at Philippi. But if we have found a church where this message is preached, it is important that we receive it repeatedly, which therefore tells us something of how important attendance at church is, so that we are safeguarded in our salvation. Paul warns us not to be sidetracked. As he warns that church in Philippi, he warns us too not to become sidetracked. He warns the church there at Philippi specifically against the mutilators of the flesh in chapter 3. Why? Well, because that was the pressing issue of the day for the church there. Now, I've spoken to you about the major issue that nearly divided the church during the days of the apostles. We read about it in Acts 15, and it has to do with circumcision. And this is what Paul is referring to. Paul is saying in no uncertain terms to the church at Philippi that no matter what, do not be persuaded by anyone within the church that you are required to partake in this ritual. He says simply that what he has already written to them about is the gospel, and that salvation is through faith in this gospel, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not in any ancient ritual. Put no confidence in the flesh, he says. He goes on to explain why, if anyone has had reason to put confidence in these bygone rituals, it is him, he says. Why? Well, because he was once regarded as a prominent and respected Jew. He explains this in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3 in this letter. He says, I was circumcised when I was a week old. I am an Israelite by birth of the tribe of Benjamin, a pure-blooded Hebrew. As far as keeping the Jewish law is concerned, I was a Pharisee, and I was zealous that I persecuted the church. As far as a person can be righteous by obeying the law, I was without fault. And he is saying that his salvation is not in these things. Not in his circumcision. Not because he's a descendant of the people of Israel. Not because he is from the tribe of Benjamin. Not because he is a thoroughbred Hebrew. Not because of the law. Not because he was a Pharisee. Not because of his defence of all things Jewish. He is saying, none of these things matter. In fact, nothing he ever does outside of Christ is of salvific worth. And here comes Paul's tagline from this part of his letter. But whatever was to my profit, he says, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Wow. I don't know about you, but I quite enjoy that program on TV called Who Do You Think You Are? And a large part of the program is to help people make sense of who they are according to where their heritage is. And it can be fun and interesting to engage in this kind of research, and there's nothing wrong with this. But what Paul is saying here is that it doesn't matter who you are and where you come from. It has no significance. This is consistent with what Paul says in his letter to the Galatians. He writes to them, "So there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, between slave and free, between men and women. You are all one in union with Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are descendants of Abraham and will receive what God has promised, salvation." What matters is, and this would be a good program on TV, who do you think you are in Christ? But this is not enough for Paul. He has not completed his point here. He goes on to say, "Not only those things do I consider as loss, I reckon everything as complete loss for the sake of what is much more valuable, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." Now, if there was yet another show on TV, Who Do You Think You Will Be? This time, Paul is saying that doesn't matter either. And actually, there are lots of these shows around on TV that could just be called Who Do You Think You Will Be? The Apprentice, The X Factor, and shows like this on TV are all indicators of our society that is striving to find an identity tied up in what or who they think they might like to be. And Paul is saying, you can be a successful business person, you can be a best-selling musician, but it won't mean anything more to God. And it could even be that these things, if we're not careful, can become as an idol for us that distorts or replaces our perception of God. And Paul says, as this means nothing to God, but can get in the way, I have thrown it all away. He says, I consider it as mere refuge, garbage, rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be completely united to him. And if you think about it, what does it all matter? We have a very short time on earth. For most of us, it will be not even 100 years, and we place so much emphasis at different points of our lives on things that, in the eternal scheme of things, don't matter a jot. I've had so many issues with low-level anxiety through my life, putting pressure on myself for things that I count as loss now. Loss of time, loss of effort, loss of sleep, loss, 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 and they are loss to God. In the end, there is very little that we strive for that is really real. The newest thing, the next promotion, perceived success in one or more area of our lives. Stop. Rest in the Lord. Draw close to Him. Be at peace. This is what matters. Paul is a wonderful example of an ambitious little so-and-so who one day realizes all he's doing is for nothing. It has no value. What he's done, what he might do, it just doesn't matter. And he concludes this, and he shares it with the church at Philippi, and now today with us. I no longer have a righteousness of my own, the kind that is gained by obeying the law. I now have a righteousness that is given through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is based on faith. All I want to know is Christ, and to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, in the hope that I myself will be raised from death to life. Paul says to the church at Philippi, as he says to us today, do not seek after the things of this world, but look towards an eternity spent with Christ.